Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today are two phenomenal individuals, PMs in the Big Data Group, Savine and Rajesh.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Take a second to introduce yourselves, and then we'll get going.
Rajesh.
Okay, my name is Rajesh Dadia. I'm a Group Program Manager in the Microsoft Data Group, primarily leading our storage technologies.
Okay. Awesome. Savine?
Primisimo Story, Group Program Manager in the Big Data team, and we both work on Data Lake. That's what we're going to talk about.
Awesome. Yep. So that's why you're here. We're going to talk about Azure Data Lake. So a big announcement.
Yes.
This has been in preview for quite some time.
Yes.
So what you
Well, you know, we've been in preview since November 2015, and now Azure Data Lake Store and Analytics are now generally available.
Sweet. So this is, unfortunately, I think this is our first foray show into the whole Azure Data Lake. So and we look forward to having you guys back many more times to talk about these services. But for those that aren't familiar with them, what is Azure Data Lake? How do we think, you know, is that one service? How do we think about Azure Data Lake?
So they're a set of services, actually. Mm-hmm. And the name can be a little confusing. Right now we have three services in the Data Lake. HD Insight is the existing service that's part of the Data Lake family.
Yep.
And that's always been available for quite some time now. And the two new ones are Data Lake Store and Data Lake Analytics. So where Data Lake Analytics handles compute, and Data Lake Store is storage for big data.
Right. So we can think about it in this way. Here's our Data Lake, and we've got two analytical services and one storage service.
Correct.
Right. But okay, so we could. How do we then move from there into really what's underneath the covers for those? Because we have a storage option, but what's how do we think about these from a deeper perspective?
Yeah, it's probably best to start with the store for that.
Yeah. So definitely, I mean, we do have storage offerings in Azure, existing storage offerings. What we have here is called Azure Data Lake Store, primarily designed for big data workloads. So it's a storage system for big data workloads. Enterprises that are looking to build an enterprise-wide data lake where they want to bring all their data in a single place, capture it, analyze it, and then get value out of it, unlock the potential of all that data. That's really their target scenario for.
So someone's going to ask. I'm going to ask it, and hopefully I'm not the only one asking this. So we have Azure, Blob Storage, Airtable Storage. What's the difference between the Azure Data Lake Store and the storage options that we currently have?
Yeah. So there are definitely benefits. There are scenarios where they both are suited. Blob Storage is our general purpose object store in Azure, highly scalable, suited for many different types of workloads. Azure Data Lake Store, as I was mentioning earlier, is primarily designed for big data workloads.
Okay.
And so what do we mean by that? So if enterprises are looking for building enterprise-wide data lakes where the users or developers actually can bring in their data at a single place and analyze it without any further movement of the data, that's where Azure Data Lake Store comes into picture. Now, in terms of benefits, the store is designed to meet the needs of the enterprise today and in future. So the scalability targets kind of capabilities it has, such as no limits to the account sizes, for example.
Okay.
This is absolutely keeping in mind the fact that enterprises want to build and make that investment once towards Data Lake and then grow that in future.
Okay. So really, we would talk about store. This is any file, any type, any size, meant for this hyperscale mass processing storage mechanism.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with the Data Lake approach, as you don't have to define a schema up front.
Yep.
You can bring the data in its native form, and Azure Data Lake Store will enable you to store that data in its native form.
Yep.
And then you have your analytics engines running on top of Azure Data Lake Store that are going to be able to process that data.
And we see some benefits listed here, things like HDFS for the cloud, always encrypted. I mean, are these kind of things that customers are going, hey, from an enterprise perspective, this just solves a ton of problems for me?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were very specific about the use cases that we wanted to zero in on target.
Yeah.
So let me just sort of walk through the sort of four or five, sort of key value props as far as, if you're like a developer or if you're a business decision maker, like a CIO, here are the things, so if you go think about your enterprise data lake strategy, first thing is like, hey, can this data lake store in terms of how much data can I bring in?
Yeah.
Absolutely, there is no limit as far as the design of the system is concerned.
Throwing data in there and I don't care.
Exactly. Right? There are no artificial limits. I mean, there are no limits to like how much data you can bring in. There are no limits to how many objects or files you can bring in.
Or even the size.
Exactly. I mean, further down, like if you go into basically a specific object, granularity, you don't have any limit to how big a file can be. Mm-hmm. Many of the system, for example, have limits to like, hey, I can only store like, maximum 1 terabyte of object or file, or 5 terabytes of object or file. Data Lake Store is designed with no limits in mind.
Okay.
We've tested basically petabyte size files and it scales basically fine.
Cool, okay.
The other benefits when it comes to sort of developers, like say if today's system, the way they're designed, developers as they scale to meet their future needs, many a times they have to redesign their application or repartition the data to take advantage of the scale.
Mm-hmm.
With Data Lake Store, because it's designed primarily for the big data workloads, there are no repartitioning of data or redesigning of applications needed, because the store will scale to the applications needed. It'll provide it whatever throughput it needs on whatever data sets it's executing over and meet those needs.
So as I'm running jobs, the underlying storage will scale based on...
One thing Data Lake Store really provides for the analytics part, which I'll talk about, is the parallel read and write without the developer having to think about it. Like, it really is optimized for analytics, and that's the key thing that separates it from a developer point of view.
Okay.
Absolutely. You're no longer thinking about, hey, I have this massive data set. Should I be creating multiple accounts? How should I be sharding this data? Just bring the data in its native
completely
format.
Completely hands off.
And the storage will actually meet the needs of the analytics app.
So go back a second, because one of the things, like, so built on web HDFS, right? What does this give me? Should people be concerned about that? What is it? Or do they even need to know?
Absolutely. So one of the key things about Azure Data Lake Store is that, unlike object stores, it's built as a file system.
Mm-hmm.
And HDFS is the big data file system, Hadoop standard, that is.
Okay.
So Azure Data Lake Store essentially implements Hadoop distributed file system in the cloud.
Okay.
And with that open standard, what you can now do is you can bring any analytics workload and run it on top of Azure Data Lake Store, whether it is Azure Data Lake Analytics or Azure HD Insight, which is a collection of itself multiple different types of Hadoop and Spark workloads. You're essentially, with this offering, you are meeting the needs of today, as well as future-proofing your investment, because new workloads are going to come out in Hadoop. Every year there is basically a new buzz, with something, right?
Okay.
But there's one thing common with all of those, which is they're all built for HDFS standard.
Okay.
And so with this Azure Data Lake Store supporting Web HDFS, which is a REST web version of HDFS, now you have essentially have a store that works just like HDFS, implements the hierarchical file system, and it has essentially the same API.
Yeah, okay, great. And very easy to get started with this, correct? So just spin up a store and I'm good to go. Start uploading files and good go.
Takes 30 seconds to do that.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
If we have time, maybe we'll do a demo.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the analytics piece of this, because if you get, so we understand we're storing data, right?
Yeah.
Any type, file size, things like that, right?
Yeah.
Now, how does the analytics piece play into that, right? Is this where, I want to start getting insights into this data, or?
Maybe I should just talk about analytics in relation to the other part of compute, because it will help frame the answer a bit.
Okay.
So we have those two services, Azure Data Lake Analytics and HD Insight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so HD Insight, in short, is, it's clusters as a service. You go to Azure, you ask for a cluster, sometime later you get a cluster, right? And no matter what if you're doing nothing with the cluster or you're using it, you're still paying for that cluster, right? And, it is a more advanced in terms of, or it's more complex, right? Developers have to be more of an expert to use it. Data Lake Analytics is a true sort of clusterless, serverless, infrastructureless thing, right? You simply create an account, which takes 30 seconds, right? By the way, once you create it, you're not paying for it.
Yeah.
It's only if you actually use it to run compute using USQL language jobs.
Can we think about this, and hopefully this is a correct comparison, right? Can we think about HD Insight versus Azure Data Lake Analytics? One's, you know, more of an IaaS type of service. I need, you know, I want more hands-on versus analytics where, more of a PaaS type of service?
Yeah, absolutely. That is a way of looking at it. I mean, really, if you're going to use HD Insight, I mean, you have VMs out there. You have a cluster. You can log into them and install bits. You can do everything, right? There are those boxes, essentially, or VMs out there. Data Lake Analytics is fundamentally different.
Yeah.
There is no cluster for you to go to. There is no VM to log into, right?
Yep.
It's a true PaaS in terms of big data.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And same for store, actually. There's no cluster to log into.
Yeah. Right. One of the things I want to add here is that our focus with Azure Data Lake Analytics and Azure Data Lake Store is squarely on some of the key dimensions, such as productivity and scalability.
Okay.
And they both have to be seamless. And so in that sense, the productivity that it drives for a developer with the kind of ability that Savin described, where you literally, like, if you can be productive in a matter of seconds, right? It's a very approachable system for anybody, basically, who has some skills just in SQL. They can come to big data and just be productive.
And I like that, because like you said, 30 seconds, I spin it up. I'm not even paying for it.
Nope.
But at what point, how does this, at what point do I start paying, and what does analytics give me?
Well, you know, we have this, one of our five big points is, start in seconds, scale instantly, and pay per job.
Right.
And so what that really means is the 30 seconds is the start instantly, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what does scale instantly mean? And it's actually also tied into pay for your job. But basically, I said there are no VMs for you or clusters you to log into. When you write your script, your job written in the USQL language, you submit it to Azure Data Lake Analytics, okay? And you request how many compute resources, what we call analytics units, that you want.
Yep.
It could be one, or it could be 1,000,
right?
Okay. And when you submit that job, instantaneously, that number of analytics units will be allocated for that job.
Okay?
You start paying then. The minute the job starts, those disappear and you stop paying.
Yep.
Right, this is very different from HDI, HD Insight, where you're spinning up a cluster, right?
And even if you're not running something, you're paying for that.
Exactly.
Cluster.
So, this is a much more flexible system because, you could be using four AUs, analytics units, throughout the day, and then all of a sudden you could literally dial the slider up to, 500 and start using that many for a job.
Yep.
It's true elasticity. And again, you're only paying for what you use.
Okay.
Right? So you don't have to worry about, I left my cluster on and I'm paying for it.
Yep.
Right? In a highly efficient system.
Yeah. And it'd be nice, I'd love to have you guys back to go, okay, how do I think about this? How do I visualize and dive into analyzing how many AUs do I need and looking at jobs? That'd be awesome, right? But for now, let's stick to, what we have here.
Yeah.
Because, we think about, I don't want to manage a cluster. Let me just run my job, right? And I think that's the benefit of, what we're talking about here.
And the great thing about the Data Lake Store is, right, if you put all your data there, both HD Insight and Azure Data Lake Analytics can both work on it.
Yeah.
So you can blend the both and use the best of both worlds.
Yep.
It's not an either-or proposition.
Right, okay. Awesome. All right, and so what else? I mean, we talked about, pay for a job, but,
Yeah, there are two other things I'd really emphasize. Number one, we do have this language called USQL, and it might be tempting to think about Data Lake Analytics as, another kind of SQL in the cloud, and certainly in some sense it behaves that way.
Right.
But really we're about something more broad, right? And we talk about using USQL as a way of doing massively parallel programs in the cloud. And not only just writing USQL, and you can extend it with, of course, any .NET language like C#, but also now R and Python.
Wow, okay.
So do massively distributed machine learning. So it's a more generic way of doing compute that's much simpler for people to get started. Like, for example, if you want to do some image processing, which Joseph Siraj actually did this at Ignite. They showed some examples of this.
Yeah.
Over 1 million images, they did some facial and feature recognition, right? It was simple to write, and this is the kind of new power. It isn't all about just ETL and querying. It's massively distributed computing.
Well, and that's a good point, because we've had, I think that, when people watch this, they're going, you're talking R and Python and this new language called USQL, right? Not that we want to scare anybody away, but, how difficult or how easy, maybe that's a better way to put it, is it to spin up a cluster, how do I write a job? I mean, is it really, or can we use the stuff that we already know?
So the spinning up part is, of course, a 30-second thing, right? So that's not a problem. And there's no numbers for you to know about.
Yep.
You just start. You just need to name the account.
Yeah.
Okay. That's part one. Now, getting started. Now, besides the fact we come with a bunch of samples and sample data, the thing I want to communicate about UseSQL is that, you know, we have been using an internal version of this language in Microsoft for 2008. There are, I think, at this point, probably over 10,000 unique developers internally in Microsoft using this language every month.
Wow.
And I am responsible for actually getting them trained on this language.
Okay.
And UseSQL, its derivative now, the V2 of it, is much simpler, much more straightforward, much more friendly.
Okay.
Right? And the feedback we always get is developers love the language.
Yeah.
Right? It isn't T-SQL, but borrows a lot from T-SQL. Yeah. It isn't high, but it borrows a lot. Right? And it certainly integrates C-sharp in a very interesting way.
Yeah.
People pick it up very fast.
Yeah, we've had Michael on here and talking a couple times, two or three times, by talking about UseSQL. It's one of the most watched shows because it's people want to know what is this awesome UseSQL language or what is this new buzzword going around. So that's very I spin up a cluster. How easy is it for me to get started running jobs?
Yeah.
And I think that's the question that you just answered. Right. So very awesome. All right. What else?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I think we should talk about in the context of Azure Data Lake, both the services, that the enterprise-grade security that is sort of built into both the services. So as I mentioned earlier, I mean, the key scenario is that enterprises coming in, building their data lake for today and for future. Well, one of the key requirements there is that how do I secure access to the system, at a sort of granular level, right? And when it comes to security, there are many requirements. And I'm sort of glad to say that, we excel in pretty much all of those requirements. So starting with user level control, it starts with authentication. We have a great service which scales to millions of users called Azure Active Directory.
Yep.
Both of these services are natively integrated with that service in the cloud.
Okay.
So now you can have a single sign-on for your enterprise users. Okay. You have same set of credentials for your on-premises applications versus cloud. You have authorization built into both of these services where you can specify which users can do what operations.
Yeah.
So for example, when it comes to the data in the data lake store, whether they have read access or write access, when it comes to analytics, whether they can submit jobs or how many jobs can they submit.
Yeah.
You can have sort of policies like that. Mm-hmm. Further down, you have auditing. So in a regulatory environments, and when you want to meet your compliance, auditing is a key requirement.
Yeah.
Not only that you want to audit access to the data sets, but also the operations such as change in configuration. And they're all sort of audited.
Who did what when? And
exactly. Like who changed what configuration? Which admin was it? And you can create groups in Azure Active Directory. You can create roles in ADLA, and you can have role-based security.
Yeah, and that integration with AAD, Azure Active Directory, makes it easy to control and implement the security.
Absolutely. You can use your existing groups to create permissions. And lastly, we have data that is encrypted both in transit and at rest always. We support in Data Lake Store server managed keys for encryption, as well as user managed keys that can be backed by an HSM-based device called Azure Key Vault in the cloud. So now you have a complete sort of end-to-end security from the enterprise perspective that you can leverage in sort of compliant and secure environments.
I do want to say one thing about Azure Active Directory. It isn't merely that it works with it or they've integrated. Its integration is seamless. Like when you create an account for store and analytics, you don't even ask about it. We automatically configure it for you. There are no questions. Yeah. It just works, right?
That's cool.
It just works.
So and that's an issue because people are going to go, anytime you're dealing with data, security is going to come up, right? Is my data secure? So that's that's awesome. I would love to have you back to talk more about, show us how to implement that type of security and
Absolutely.
The policies like that. But one of the points on here is that I'd love to have you back at some point and go, I've just run a job. What? Now what? Right? How did it go?
Yeah. How do you optimize?
How do I optimize it? Did it suck? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or can I improve the job? Right? And I think that's where we go. How do we gain insight into what happened in our job? Yeah. Right? And how do we improve
that? I think
that?
People will be amazed at what we've done to help people not only just fix problems,
but
even if there are no problems, see if you can do better with the job and save more money.
Oh yeah, because I may not need to scale to 1,000.
Exactly.
I may 250 nodes or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And how do I do that? That goes to debug and then visualize your analytics. And I think future shows need to come back and how do we dive deeper into security and the visualization and debugging part of this? Because this is, I think you're spot on both of you. Here's a great way to very easy, not manage a cluster, very easily, you know, start getting started with analytics. Yep. But on the surface, okay, I spun up a cluster, you know, I spun up an account, store, and analytics in 30 seconds. Now what? Right? But we see the bit of, I think, you know, people watching this go, yep, I get it. Right? But now, you know, how do I move on from there?
Yep.
So, gentlemen, thank you so much. This is great.
It's a pleasure.
People have been asking about this for some time, and so it's great having you in. We definitely look forward to having both of you back multiple times to
Absolutely.
Talk about this. So, everybody, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having us here.